Gary, we will talk this hour with Michael about mediums and other issues that surround that. But I wanted you to open it up with basically your own statement, your own opening remarks on this field.
Sure. Well, I should first illustrate that I began this work certainly as a questioner. I mean, I had been raised to believe it was ashes to ashes, dust to dust, case closed. But as a scientist, my job is to explore phenomena and design experiments as carefully as possible and then let the data speak. And over the past now almost 10 years, the research has just continued to reveal positive findings under ever more stringent conditions that could not be explained by the conventional ways of approaching this, including what's called cold reading or warm reading or hot reading or rater bias or experimenter error or any of the kinds of things that any good scientist would want to remove. And so our work is continuing with now triple-blind and even quadruple-blind experiments with Dr. Julie Beischel and others, and it's quite an adventure.
What would your definition be, Gary, of a good medium?
Well, first of all, a medium is someone who claims that they can receive information about a deceased person, and of course a medium claims that they're receiving that information from the deceased person. And a good medium is a medium who can get accurate and specific information that is unique and identifying to a particular person's deceased loved ones, and where they get that information without getting cues from the living. In other words, it's not like they're getting the information from the person who's living, but getting it from anomalous means.
All right, Michael, you've got your undergraduate degree in psychology, so you've got some experience with the mind. I take it you don't believe that people have this ability?
I don't. I think the evidence from a scientific perspective is pretty slim and fraught with experimental design problems. For example, when a psychic makes a comment about the person they're doing the reading on, somebody has to make a decision about whether that comment constitutes a hit or a miss. And therein lies the element of subjectivity there. If the psychic says, I'm getting the letter M, or I'm getting a father figure, or I'm getting the month of June, or whatever it is, somebody has to decide whether that constitutes an actual connection with the other side, or it doesn't. It's a hit or a miss. And this is the original reason that the Zener cards were designed, you know, the wavy line and the triangle, square, circle, and so on, so that there isn't that subjective element to it, that you take that out of it. And I would like to see something like that done in this kind of research. That is to say, the psychic is going to try to discern, say, the gender of the person who deceased, who is on the other side trying to communicate. It's either a man or a woman. So there you have a binary choice, and let's say you have the psychic do 100 different people who have had somebody passed over that they want to contact, and it's just written down ahead of time whether it's a man or a woman, and the psychic just says simply it's a man or a woman, and then on to the next subject and the next one, and none of this sort of rambling on about I'm getting a red dress or the letter M or whatever. Just straightforward, hit or miss, male or female, next subject please, and then let's see how they did.
Are you open to the possibility, Michael, that some of these people may be intuitive, may be psychic enough to be able to reach into that realm of mediumship, or do you think that they're all just making it up?
Oh, well, for the most part, I am skeptical that there is such a thing as life after death, so therefore I don't think anybody's talking to somebody on the other side. Well, actually, let me say that anybody can talk to the dead. It's getting the dead to talk back that's the hard part. We can all talk to the dead. And so far, in my opinion, it's lacking two things. One, strict, tight controls, and two, any kind of viable theory that would explain how our memories, our neural memories are downloaded into some other platform that lasts longer than the protein meat that we're made out of. Our DNA patterns, our memories, how does that get passed on? And there's no good theory for how it would work, even if the data were there to support it, which, in my opinion, it isn't.
Your thoughts, Gary?
Well, first of all, it would be nice if Michael was actually up to date with regard to the research, because if he was, for example, and I do encourage you, Michael, to read my latest book called The Truth About Medium, because when you do that, you will see that one of the chapters deals with what's called a triple-blind experiment, which is beyond a double-blind experiment. And in this kind of research, we handle that concern of yours very explicitly, meaning that who does the rating. And the way this is done, which is absolutely definitive, is that the sitter, the person who wishes to hear from their deceased loved one, is not present at the time that the reading is done. So, for example, we have a proxy sitter, an experimenter, who is blind to the details of the particular sitter's loved ones in question. And, of course, the medium is blind to the information. Then what happens is that at a later point in time, the sitter is given two readings. One is their reading, and the other reading is a control reading, meaning it's a reading of somebody else. And they have to rate each item, and they're doing it blindly because they don't know which item is theirs and which is the controls. And under those circumstances, whatever, quote, biases a given rater might have, they're going to be applying it equally to the experimental reading and the control reading. And if under those circumstances, the degree of accuracy is scored significantly higher when it's for their reading than is the control reading, under those circumstances, it eliminates all of the concerns of the subjectivity, which has been, of course, a legitimate question to ask. And this kind of research, by the way, has not only been done in our laboratory, it's also been done independently in Scotland, with very similar results. So when you look at the actual experiments that have been done, it addresses Michael's concern, and quite effectively.
How would you convince Michael, Gary, that there are some mediums out there who are sensitive enough to do what you've studied?
Well, in order to convince someone like Michael, he'd have to first of all actually read the experiments. And when he would make a comment like he just did, he would base it actually on knowledge as opposed to merely opinion.